Welcome to Box Office Battle, where we take box office bombs, underappreciated classics, and forgotten movies and pit them against each other for the right to get on Mount Valhalla. I'm Biggs.
I'm Zach.
And I'm special guest ring enforcer, Mr. Brian Tobin.
That's right, Mr.
That's a title.
Don't forget it.
You respect my authority.
Yes, sir, Judge. So today we are doing a Val Kilmer theme. I will be doing the best Batman movie to ever come out from the 90s. I don't remember what year. 95? 96? I'm going to say 95.
95, I think, yeah.
Batman Forever.
And I will be doing, from 2005, Val Kilmer and Robert Downey Jr. in Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
Batman Forever, essentially, is a classic tale. It's Batman trying to figure out why he's Batman, and then also beating the crap out of villains. So the villains we have in this one are Two-Face, played by Tommy Lee Jones, who is a, well, you know, you saw Dark Knight, right? Everybody saw Dark Knight. We know who Harvey Two-Face is at this point. He's a district attorney who gets acid thrown in his face in this particular movie. And I think in the comic,
in the
right?
comics as well, yeah.
Yeah, so that's one of those rare cases where this movie actually hits an origin, right? And then the other villain is played by the hilarious Jim Carrey, who's playing the Riddler. Mm-hmm. And so the Riddler is basically a deranged person who works for Bruce Wayne and decides to steal brainwaves. So in addition, we have the origin story of Robin, played by Chris O'Donnell. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I got that right.
Yep, that's
because
the one.
For a long time, I thought it was also Chris Evans. So I made these the same people.
Chris Evans sort of stole the career Chris O'Donnell was trying to have, didn't he?
So Robin was tragically watched his family die in a trapeze accident that involved the mob.
Yeah.
Ran by Harvey Two-Face. And so he's got a grudge. And he wants to get back at Harvey Two-Face. He also wants to steal Bruce Wayne's cars,
yep.
Go driving around, pick up women. I think at one part he goes, "Hey, baby, you want to ride in my love machine?" Which is very culturally sensitive for the time.
Yes.
It was of a time, guys. It was 1995. We weren't as advanced as we are nowadays.
It was a different era. You could do things differently. It
definitely was a different era. Look, guys, I could go on and on about this. But basically, Edward Nygma is stealing brainwaves. And Harvey Two-Face is just fucking shit up. And then eventually they team up to fight Batman and Robin. And guess who wins? You gotta watch the movie to find out,
Dr.
guys.
Chase Meridian? Does she win?
Oh, yeah. Also, well, okay, I might as well get into this. There has long been a contention that if Batman ever went to a psychiatrist that he would crumble as a crime fighter. It's not true because he shows his true bravery in this. He goes to a psychiatrist and then the psychiatrist comes away to his line of thinking. Batman is so powerful that he can even turn mental health professionals onto his side. That's pretty good, right? That's like Joker power right there with Harley Quinn.
It's true.
I am remaining neutral till all the facts have been presented.
That's fine. I'm just saying.
Except I'm not.
It's just something to keep in mind. Also, it has a pretty good soundtrack. It's got Smashing Pumpkins doing two songs. I think the beginning is the end is the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And the end is the beginning is the end. That's the one at the end.
Yep, because that's... yes.
It bookends the movie.
And that's the one that got used in Watchmen.
Right, there's also Seal, Kiss from a Rose, which was in the credits. There is my favorite song from it, U2, Hold Me, Thrill Me, Kiss Me, Kill Me, which I am embarrassed to admit how many times I listened to that song in the car, because I was really into U2. It was of a time, guys. Uh-huh. It was the mid-90s. Everybody was listening to
U2. And it feels like it every step of the way. And that's simultaneously an insult and a compliment.
I'll take it as a compliment. Why don't you go ahead and talk about your movie, Zach?
So my film sowed the seeds for the return of Robert Downey Jr. to the A-list. Now, obviously, it did not grow those seeds or harvest the seeds, but it sowed them. It put the idea back into the world that Robert Downey Jr. could be a leading man, and it reminded us how goddamn talented he is. So this film, Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, it's written and directed by the great Shane Black, known for his buddy cop action movies and his tongue-in-cheek look at the action genre. And this is... very much of a similar vein, but he takes focus on noir and detective stories. So essentially, Robert Downey Jr. plays Harry Lockhart. He was a magician as a child, and as an adult, he's become a petty thief, and that's how he makes all his money. And he is running from the cops after stealing something, and he accidentally walks into an audition that's happening in New York City. And so he's freaking out, and he doesn't realize it's an audition, but he ends up getting a callback, so they fly him to L.A. Now, when he goes to L.A., he meets with a private detective named Gay Perry, as played by Val Kilmer, in what is very possibly one of his finest roles. And Gay Perry is there. He works for the studio part-time to train actors how to be more like a detective. And so Gay Perry takes him under his wing, and an adventure ensues that will bring in high-profile Hollywood executives, attractive ladies from Harry Lockhart's past. It will remind him of the pulp detective novels, the Johnny Gossamer series he loved as a child, and eventually a dog will eat someone's finger.
I need clarification quickly.
Uh-huh.
Gabe Perry?
No,
or
Gay Perry. Gay okay. Perry.
Is that his real name?
There's a line in the movie that's similar to that. Robert Downey Jr. asks him, "So are you really gay?" And he goes, "No, I'm swimming in pussy. I just keep the name because I like it." His name's Perry, and people call him Gay Perry, and he's taken the name on as his own. To talk too much about the plot would give it away, but essentially it has to do with a disappearance of a girl, the calling of a detective to watch to spy on somebody, and then eventually just a lot of homicides. Just a whole lot of homicides happen.
Is that round one?
Yes, we are beginning the battle here.
So is there a judge's scorecard? Do I hold off?
If you want to, whatever you want.
You guys presented some really strong points, but there's going to be some takeaways. I'm going to have to coach you up a little bit. Biggs, -1 point. He did not steal cars. He stole motorcycles to race the gang to get into Two Faces Inner Circle.
He stole the Batmobile in one part.
It originally started with stealing the motorcycles from the Wayne Manor.
But I was referring to his stealing of the Batmobile.
Clarity then.
Okay. I'm clarifying now. Does that get
Zach,
it? Does that...
Uh-huh. -1 point for using the phrase tongue-in-cheek.
You know what? So part of me wants to complain only because I didn't know that was a rule and that's a pretty common phase, but I accept my fate because there's no denying that I said it.
Yep, so we're all evened up.
Okay.
So first round, we're too early to tell.
This is an ensemble movie. We have Chris O'Donnell, Val Kilmer at the top of their powers. I think you could arguably say Tommy Lee Jones puts in his most memorable performance ever. He is, think about it. What's more memorable than Two-Face? I mean, you can maybe pull out a phrase out of The Fugitive, but you're not thinking about that character, really. You don't think about him chasing John Kimble. Maybe like the scene at the water or the water pipe. That's it. That's all you got. You got two scenes out of this. You think about this, you think about him laughing maniacally, wearing a purple suit with the machine gun, like running around. It's spectacular. You can't get it out of your mind. It just sticks with you. And when he gets burned with acid when he was good first, amazing. And by the way, it was originally Billy Dee Williams's Two-Face in the first Batman movie, but they realized Tommy Lee Jones, he had the magnetism that they really needed. He was able to pull from a place that Billy Dee Williams just wasn't able to pull from, because Billy Dee Williams has a sex appeal, but he can't pull off crazy like Tommy Lee Jones can.
So the thing I want to lead off with, and the thing that is really probably the number one selling point of this film, of Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, is the narration and the dialogue. Robert Downey Jr.'s narration is a pastiche of the classic first-person narration that you see in a lot of detective films, you know, like, "The dame walked in and I knew it was never going to be the same." Except for he's constantly referring to himself, losing his train of thought, going on tangents, retelling the story because he realized he forgot something. It plays with a narration in a way that's a lot of fun for the genre. In a genre where you expect everything to be straightforward and a lot of the uniqueness comes in the style and the look and the tone, it's brought from Shane Black's dialogue from minute one and from Robert Downey Jr.'s performance, which really sets up the motor mouth he brings to incredible acclaim in the Iron Man series. Then you have the great dialogue, which is essentially acts as a vehicle to allow Val Kilmer to just talk shit to Robert Downey Jr. for 2 hours. And Val Kilmer sells these insults with such a genuine incredulity at the dumb things Robert Downey Jr.'s character does that even though it's clearly something humans would never say because humans don't work that quick, it feels real. And that's the best compliment you can give heightened dialogue. It doesn't have to be real because sometimes real dialogue isn't that interesting. It just needs to feel real while still selling your tone.
I'm not sure if you should have started your main argument with the sex appeal of Tommy Lee Jones.
What are you talking about? I'm getting wet just talking about it.
Zach, if you're going to lead off with a narration and Morgan Freeman isn't the narrator, you're already a little bit behind.
Okay, you want to talk about sex appeal? You got Nicole Kidman in this movie. Now, it doesn't get much hotter than Nicole Kidman in the mid-90s. She was so fine that even gay Tom Cruise was taken by her.
Allegedly.
Allegedly gay Scientologist Tom Cruise.
Was he Scientologist then?
I think he was.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I think he was born Scientologist. He just didn't find out until like 91.
He had a high Thetan count to begin with.
That's right.
It turns out the higher your bank account is, the more Thetans you have.
His midichlorian levels were off the charts.
That's so funny you said that. I was thinking the same thing.
Hey, don't you pander to me.
No, I was literally thinking the same thing. There is no pandering in that comment.
Round three.
Also, we're not there yet. So the other thing I would really like to point out about my movie is how much it plays with the Batman mythos. Okay, so you have the whole thing where you see images of bats, and you know he talks it through with the psychologist, so you can kind of see the bearing of where he's coming from. But beyond that, they play with the old Adam West show. The first two movies were like, fuck this, we're just gonna throw that away, like we're more serious. But no, when you have a great director like Joel Schumacher, they do things like, holy rusted metal, Batman, the metal's holy and it's rusted. Genius. I'm just going to use the wrong bell every time.
I kind of like it. It gets exciting.
I have to take a pain away for a low blow by using the phrase the genius of Schumacher.
What are you talking about?
It's a warning, okay?
Have you ever seen the 8mm?
Get back to your corner. It's a warning.
All right.
Next, I'm going to take a point.
This is a small point, and I'm mostly throwing this in because it deserves to be mentioned. There's a great moment towards the end of the film, Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, where Val Kilmer, in a world so uncertain and scary as ours, Val Kilmer is one of the few voices we can trust. And Val Kilmer, finally, once and for all, explains who the best boy is on a film set with his classic line, so you want to know who the best boy is? Don't, it's just somebody's nephew, okay? And now we know. The best boy is whatever rich guy's nephew needed an internship that summer. We don't have to think about it anymore.
See, the thing is, though, Val Kilmer also is very grounded as Bruce Wayne, and he basically goes about how people need merit when they do projects. You can't just go and use some kind of device that's going to steal brain waves. I mean, somebody could use that for stealing people's brain waves.
So for a long time, one of the favorite things I've had about Batman, and the thing I've loved a lot about him, is much like the greatest of pro wrestlers.
Oh.
They can... Batman...
I'm just going to say... Be careful.
Hang on. Much like the greatest of pro wrestlers, Batman is a truly versatile character, right? He can be played in so many different tones. He can be played with varying shades of moralities. Like, there's so much depth of field and so much just sheer idea to work with within that character. And he works in so many ways. It's why the Adam West Batman, to me, is just as much a legitimate Batman as the Chris Nolan Batmans. And... You know, those that being able to exist in certain formats is why
they both have a hard time.
People
getting
rid like
of bombs.
Stone Cold Steve Owen can. That was just a mouth fail. Here's the thing: you can be angry about a mistake. At least it wasn't intentional. Like sometimes people just fuck up. It happens.
I'll be the judge of that.
Okay. Sometimes people just fuck up. I drank a lot of whiskey real fast.
Keep working that shovel.
The thing that works for these wrestlers like Stone Cold Steve Austin.
What?
Or like... why me? Why are you picking on me?
Because you're trying to pander and you're failing.
No, I'm not. I'm trying to make a point and I get interrupted before I can finish talking.
Okay, I made a Stone Cold Steve Austin reference after you said his name. And if you didn't catch the reference, that's
no,
not my fault.
No, but here's the thing. If you're interrupting me, I can never get it out.
That's the point.
So you're actively playing against me?
No, you made a Stone Cold reference and his big thing in the 90s was the what?
Yes, no, I understand that.
I did it once. You freaked out. Calm down now.
You've interrupted me a couple of times now.
Neutral corners.
I just want to know.
Lane is in charge here.
Before I start, am I going to be able to finish this sentence?
Yeah, go for it.
Are we sure?
We'll find out
together. We've got it all out of our systems. Because if not, I'm just going to say Joel Schumacher did bad stuff and be done with it.
That's a pretty good argument.
Okay, here's the thing, though. We didn't know how wretched Joel Schumacher was until we got Batman and Robin. Okay, this movie saved us from a wretched long career of Joel Schumacher. If this movie had not been successful, we wouldn't have seen the shit show that was Batman and Robin. We wouldn't have prematurely ended his love fest with the studios. You owe this movie the fact that we never got to see Nick Cage as, what, the Scarecrow? That could have happened if it hadn't been for this movie.
I'm just going to take one sentence from your argument and say it in a different tone, just to illustrate a point, which is, if Joel Schumacher hadn't made this movie, we would have never seen Batman and Robin.
I would have countered with the opposite of that. When you can counter with is, Joel Schumacher's the reason we never saw Nick Cage in a Batman movie.
Exactly.
Yeah, because Tim Burton was working with him in Superman. That's the reason.
No, it was because Batman and Robin bombed really bad. But we never would have gotten there if it wasn't for that. Can you imagine a world where Joel Schumacher gets Lord of the Rings? God knows I can, and I'm afraid of it. Thank God for Batman Forever. Batman Forever has forever made the cinematic landscape better.
The thing about Batman is that he works in different tones, different styles, yes? And the point I was making with pro wrestlers is when you can do it through different eras and adapt your character to suit different eras really well, that's how you can create longevity and depth and different facets to a character, yes? What Joel Schumacher wanted to do was to take the darkness of the very early Batman comics and the 80s stuff while mixing it with the lightness of the Adam West show. Now, it turns out, you can go dark Frank Miller Batman and it'll turn great. You can go corny, campy Adam West Batman and it'll turn out great. When you mix them together, you just get a neon Gotham, and that's not great for anybody.
Oh, I agree with you on that point. And you're actually making my point for me in a way. We would not have the Christopher Nolan Batmans if it wasn't for Joel Schumacher's Batman Forever. It laid the template for that. It showed you, hey, you can't necessarily go here, even if it makes money. And you know what? I think that that's worth two bad Batman movies. This movie deserves to win because Batman wouldn't be surviving right now if it wasn't for this movie.
So if we're going to do stuff that cannot be proven because we'd have to go to an alternate timeline to prove it, Robert Downey Jr.'s career doesn't go anywhere if he doesn't end up leading in Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. That's the Robert Downey Jr. we know and love today, and all the quirks that make a Robert Downey Jr. performance indelibly a Robert Downey Jr. performance, including the signatures you see in all Robert Downey Jr.'s role. He started those. He really started carving that template and that image for himself in Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. And you know what? If that's just his practice, and his practice is that goddamn good, we haven't even seen close to what he can do when he works with Shane Black and Val Kilmer again.
I'm trying to remember, and I would like to ask your help with something really quick, Zach. How many action movies has Val Kilmer been in?
That's a great question. I don't know if I could say them off the top of my head.
I feel like it's like The Saint in this one, right?
Well, does Top Gun count as an action movie?
Oh, he's in Top Gun. I didn't know. But that was a long time ago. So was The Saint, right? But like Batman Forever, he probably wouldn't have gotten Kiss Kiss Bang Bang if he didn't already have an action profile. You need three.
Was Val Kilmer in a movie with Jack Black? Where he was an assassin?
He was definitely in a Tenacious D clip with Jack Black.
No, this is like a movie where he was like, Jack Black was a gun supplier and they was making a gun in a field.
Oh, The Specialist?
Yes. Thank you. That's all. Unrelated.
Okay.
That has no bearing on what has happened. Right. It is hitting me in my mind.
I guess what I'm saying is maybe Val Kilmer doesn't have, you know, the background to where he would have been thought of for Kiss Kiss Bang Bang if it wasn't for Batman Forever. Maybe Kiss Kiss Bang Bang owes Batman Forever for even existing.
I want clarification. Are you saying that Kiss Kiss Bang Bang is an action movie? And that because of his action roots in Batman, that got him the action movie of Kiss Kiss Bang Bang?
There's action in it, right?
Zach, are you countering that Kiss Kiss Bang Bang is not an action movie?
Well, my counter was going to be, I guess it's not a straight up action
movie.
It's a detective movie with action elements.
Who's the world's greatest detective? Very
there are very
Rorschach.
Much. Here's the thing.
I think it's Batman, right?
Actually,
Alfred.
You want to know what my counter for the argument was?
It's movies. It is
Barbara.
Alfred.
Nope.
The counter's super easy. Shane Black said he actively resisted casting Val Kilmer because of Batman Forever. That was the last thing he had seen him in when he was casting the movie. Val Kilmer had to prove that Batman Forever didn't destroy him to get that movie.
So you're saying that because of his previous experience with Batman Forever, he was able to pull a performance that perhaps he wouldn't have been able to?
What I'm saying is, without Batman Forever, maybe Val Kilmer's still skinny.
Agreed.
Because the greatest action movie right now is what's happening in his Beltline. This is difficult. You guys both made compelling points. I'm going to start off with what I like to call the compliment sandwich.
Ooh.
What you did well, what I wish you did more of, and what you did well. Zach, you maintained a cool during what is at best an oversight and good manners on both of our parts. So that's your compliment. Your great compliment. The meat, though, is you let yourself get distracted.
That's true.
C, you were fighting for a movie that I would argue ostensibly has two bigger headlining names. So it's harder to convince someone that movie is underrated when... At that time, Val Kilmer and now Robert Downey Jr. are bigger names. Then I would counter with Val Kilmer and Jim Carrey and Tommy Lee Jones. Now.
Was that a box office bomb?
Yeah, it did not do well.
So if it's and a criteria for the show, though.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a box office bomb. That's why I got
chosen. If it's a bomb underappreciated.
It's very much properly appreciated.
Yeah.
Biggs. You did a very, very good job at
explaining Earth 2.
At one line arguments. One sentence, boom, hit the bell. Zach is flailing. You're just pop, done. You failed, though, to mention the two biggest points of either selling or negativity in Batman Beyond, which is, I would argue, Batman Forever.
Yeah.
I would argue that the greatest part of Batman Forever is the scene at the ball where Bruce Wayne hooks himself up to Edward Nigma's machine and bats fly out of his skull.
Can I tell you what my favorite scene is?
And everyone sees them and doesn't connect the dots.
Yeah.
My favorite scene is early on when he's robbing the bank vault and he's got all the money in it and Batman's trying to get it. And his solution to get Batman off is to fill the bank vault with acid, which destroys all the money he just stole. That's my favorite scene.
And something that you could have put a monkey shine on to kind of, if you're selling the camp of it, you should have sold when he fell down the work shaft into the cockles of Gotham. And they blasted fire at him, and he just stopped the fire with his cloak. And they never talked about that ever again in the movie.
It's understood. It's a fireproof cloak, right?
Well, I mean, why wear a cloak if it's not fireproof, right?
That's right. If you're Batman, your cape gets in the way. You have to make it work for you. I just thought it was understood. I'm sorry. Yeah. I read the comic a lot. I might have gotten lost from that.
This is a difficult one.
Really?
It is. And here's why. There was a fundamental flaw in your stumping. So here's my issue. Personally, I think Zach was arguing for a worse movie, but you did a worse job arguing for a good movie. And here's why. You did not mention the dark horse performance of that movie, which was a excellent Jim Carrey as the Riddler. Excellent. Disturbingly so. It didn't make sense how good he was back then to me. Now it doesn't hold up as much. But he was a really, really good Riddler, and he was more the catalyst of joining Kid together with Two-Face than the other way around. I would say that the Riddler was the primary villain in that film, and you did not mention him at all.
Yeah, he stole brain waves.
Yeah, that was...
It's because I didn't understand what he does.
Zach! Stone Cold Steve Owen.
No, that was just my mouth fucking. I honestly, of course, I don't think his name is Stone Cold Steve Owen. And of course, I was not trying to say that. That's what happens when you drink a lot of whiskey very quickly. Sometimes you just fuck up. You're telling me you've never fucked. How many hockey names have I had to correct you on?
All of them, probably.
Yeah, right?
But we're not playing puck office battle.
That's only because I'd be the only person on that show ever. Just being me alone in a darkened room.
So here's what I'm going to do. I need more. I need 30. You guys have 30 seconds to make your final argument.
You know, I'm just going to keep this simple and say, I can talk forever about the acting in Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, which is as top notch as it gets, without even mentioning the fact that Corbin Burnson is there as a skeevy villain the whole time. And the great Michelle Monaghan is there basically talking shit about Val Kilmer and Robert Downey Jr. while being possibly the most attractive she's been in her entire career. Like, it's top level performance from her in multiple different ways.
And done. All right. Biggs. Go.
Hold me, thrill me, kiss me, kill me. That's all I need.
It's a split decision. It's a close one. It's a close one. You guys did really good. But I have to give this one to Biggs.
Really?
Only because... Only because, with the exception of... Let me put it this way. I haven't heard about Val Kilmer since Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. I know he's alive, but that's about it. While Val Kilmer did not... And Zach made a good point. Val Kilmer recovered despite the horrific shit show that was the Batman. I just feel that that's a better movie. And I think you argued better for it. However, this is why it's a split decision. Zach made really, really good points.
I don't care about that. I'm still confused how you can possibly think Batman Forever is a better movie than Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
Now that it's over, I gotta admit,
like, that's
I don't
silly
understand
talk.
Either.
That is silly talk.
Hold on,
that
hold
is
on.
Let's straight
get
up silly
Let's
talk.
Get into this.
Part of it, and I will admit, part of it is also an emotional response from when I watched both movies. I would say
you might need to rewatch Kiss. That's a great
that
movie.
I would say that Batman Forever, shit, yeah, Batman Forever, yeah, had more impact in my formative growth than Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. And I cannot underestimate how much I enjoyed, and despite Biggs's absolute failing on this, how much I enjoyed Jim Carrey as the Riddler. So much so that I want one of those fancy Riddler staffs.
Clack, clack, clack. So, okay, so seriously, I don't even care about winning. I just can't believe you think Kiss Kiss Bang Bang is a worse movie than Batman Forever.
Can I lay this out on Front Street? I didn't do my homework because my 13-year-old just moved back in with us, and I've been trying to deal with it. I don't have time to watch a movie. Dude, Batman Forever is horrible.
It's not a good movie at all.
I tried to make it clear it was a bad movie.
He got
I'm
me.
Thrilled to
he,
win. He, I'm thrilled to win.
No,
but again, I haven't seen
I'm not
Kiss,
contesting
Kiss,
the
Bang,
results
Bang yet.
Yeah.
I
got
I
me
have
in the
everybody
heart.
Who's talked about it has told me what a great movie
yeah.
it is.
Kiss Kiss Bang Bang is a
Nobody
really good
thinks.
Movie.
I am not. I never said Kiss Kiss Bang is a bad movie. I'm saying that Batman was better.
It's not well made at all. It's now
it's
you
really
can make
not.
A case it's more enjoyable. It is not a better movie. It is not more well made in any aspect. In any aspect.
Okay, well, let's let Brian grade really okay. quick, and then we'll get into it. So we go with the grade school style. Well, incomplete if you haven't seen it. Unsatisfactory. Needs improvement. Satisfactory and excellent. And there's pluses and minuses
okay.
in there, too. Do you need a moment? I can do my rattle mine off.
Yeah, go for yours. Yeah, first.
Okay, so Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, I got to go incomplete. I have every intention of watching it. If I had more time, I would have watched it today. I kind of got a thing called Madden 15 and ate up the only 90 minutes I had. Let me just put it on Front Street here. I have a problem with Madden 15, which is I can't play it enough. It might jeopardize my marriage as well.
You
I
need more
not.
Hands.
Madden 16 might jeopardize my marriage, actually. I think Madden 16 might be the final nail in the coffin. Anyway.
Especially if you go through with that... slow motion rap video.
Yeah. Listen to Montucky Skies if you want to hear what we're talking about. Anyway, That being said, I have every intention of watching it. I've heard great things, and I honestly can't believe that I won. Like, that's phenomenal, because Batman Forever was the lazy thing, because I was trying to think of a Val Kilmer movie I could talk about without thinking about, and that was the first one. It's a terrible movie, dude. I moderately liked it when it came out. I was a little bit... How old are you?
30.
30. I'm 35, so I was like kind of over that age where there was any kind of wonderment with that movie. I was in high school. I did like a lot of the soundtrack, and that's about as far as I can go. And even that I feel guilty about now, the fact that I have that soundtrack, because all anybody remembers is Seal Kiss from a Rose, which is so corny.
I think made better arguments, but you played to my heartstrings. You played to my nostalgia.
Oh, dude, I brought it up.
Yeah.
Like, plus, I mean, it is a Batman. I didn't expect to win. I just, again, just
I literally, if you look at every point of the argument I had, it was an alternate Earth where, like, Batman Forever is the most important movie in the world, because I had no leg to stand on whatsoever. I had to go to the mat, and it worked, so I'm happy.
I'm an enigma. I'm an enigma.
Batman Forever, I've got to go unsatisfactory on. Like, I can watch it with my kids, so I'll give it the plus. I'll give it unsatisfactory plus because I can watch it with my kids, but man, I don't want to. I'll be like, hey, what about The Dark Knight? Or The Dark Knight Rises, yeah. Or Batman Begins, or fucking anything but Batman and Robin or Batman Forever. I can't take it.
My thing with Batman Forever has always been, it's probably my least favorite of the Burton Schumacher Batmans, mainly for one reason. At least Batman and Robin, while being objectively worse in terms of its craft, it takes
far worse.
The outlandish thing to a whole new... It's like so absurdly
out. It's so campy.
I can't help but be charmed by it.
I love the camp.
My problem with
Batman Forever is it doesn't take the outlandishness as far. And so to me, it's not far enough to make up for the fact that, like, the plot doesn't track logically. The characters have no clear motivations. The acting, I mean, technically they're there, so that's a step.
I will argue.
They all showed up on set. Yeah.
Can I argue something, though? It does include, at least for my taste, the best Batman death of all time, which is him dispatching of Two-Face by throwing coins at him and confusing him until he falls off into his pit.
That is truly
and then,
fun.
And then don't forget about Ed Nygma, where suddenly he gets his own brainwaves stolen. I don't quite understand, but I think that happens, right?
They were going to use brainwaves to do evil because reasons.
Yeah, the machine reverses on him and he gets overloaded with other people's brainwaves and his head like swells and pops
because of brainwaves.
Yeah,
by the way, Flaming Lips on that soundtrack, pretty fun song for that. That is one scene that I really do like, and I forgot to bring it up, but when they do the intro on where Ed Nygma fucking loses it and they're doing the "you can find your revenge" or whatever they do, I love the way they use that crazy song to like zoom in on. Actually, that is one of the only scenes that really works in that movie.
My favorite part is honestly probably just a random Drew Barrymore sighting. She's just there for a while.
She plays one of Two-Face's chicks.
Yep.
That's right. She's just there. I forgot about that. I literally have not seen this for like 4 years.
But now I'm afraid I have some bad news. Biggs, you made a fatal error. I had not made my decision final yet.
We already went through.
Oh, damn it, because I'm going to reverse this now, because you admitted that you don't think the movie you were fighting for was a good movie.
It's not good at all.
If you want to reverse it, I'll stand by it.
No, the idea
of putting that poster on there horrifies me a little bit. You can reverse it right now. Just make your decision. But
looking at the judges' scorecards, we found an error.
Recount.
Yeah, go ahead. If you got a recount.
There was a recount. Biggs, in the postscript of this episode, Biggs made a fatal flaw in admitting that not only did he not like the movie he was stumping for, he was actively bullshitting during the entire time.
Is it fair to say I'm the only one who's covered movies that I hate?
I covered Skate Town USA.
Oh, yeah, but you didn't know going
in. No, I didn't know at all.
I have multiple times covered movies I knew I hated.
Yeah.
So a lot of them, just because it worked with the theme.
Unfortunately, after further consideration, we'll have to reverse the judge's decision.
I'm a fucking snake oil salesman. Dude,
your no winner via split decision is Zachary Lockenbrook.
Oh, I shouldn't have I'll been take so it. Honest.
All right, well, you
Zachary, it's me, Zach. Barbara.
I just love that that reference is from a movie we aren't talking about.
Who cares? Who cares?
No, that's my favorite line in the entire franchise, including the Nolan movies. That's my favorite line of dialogue.
What about bat shark repellent?
Oh, that's my favorite.
Actually, no.
My favorite line is sometimes you can't get rid of a bomb.
Yep, that's my favorite one.
Adam West line. Yeah. Okay, so what's your grades here?
Batman Forever is an unsatisfactory. Kiss Kiss Bang Bang is a true excellent. It's a really fucking good movie, and people should watch it.
I have to give Kiss Kiss Bang Bang an incomplete. I have not seen all of it.
Okay.
And I am giving Batman a satisfactory.
Okay.
It's not the best, but it's not terrible. It's a nice, when it's on, I will still go on, and I have the time, I'll go like, oh, yeah, okay.
Would it be fair to say you have nostalgia built in?
I will say, yeah, I am biased because of nostalgia.
Here's okay. the thing. Yeah, I'll watch it anytime it's on too, but I just sort of consider that a personal failing of myself.
Like a punishment for something you did in the past? Like, well, it's on, I'll watch it because, you know.
No, it's more like alcoholism. Like, I can't stop myself.
This is the thing. I'll watch it, but it's not so bad that, like, I'll watch any superhero movie at least once, but it's not so bad that I won't do repeated viewings.
Yeah. See, to me, it really does exist in that zone with, like, the first Ghost Rider and the Fantastic Four movies, where it's too bad for me to genuinely enjoy and not bad enough for me to, like, mockingly enjoy.
It hasn't reached the Pauly Shore divide. Yeah.
It's in that zone where you'll lose respect for people if it's their favorite movie ever.
Yes.
But, like, you'll still watch it. It's right in that zone.
Exactly.
I don't know.
It's a very unique zone.
It's a movie that I can watch and not feel bad if I fall asleep during.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, do we know Brandon's line here?
Whatever Brandon's catchphrase is.
We had a good life.
Jack the Ripper. Middle name T, I guess you could take it like that. Jack T. Ripper.
Yeah, if his middle name is the.
Yeah.
At least in his title, that would be the middle initial. So Jack T. Ripper.
T. Ripper. Jack Tripper from Three's Company.
Done and done, dude.
It's over.
That's unfucking believable. You solved the mystery.
Dude, give me my fucking money.
Yeah, no, I agree. Give
somebody,
him his money.
Give him
his
me
fucking
my prize
money.
For that, because I put that shit together.
Folks, it's real. Recognize.
Yeah, John Ritter, woman murderer.
Yeah, dead now, cannot be brought to justice.
Dude, nobody's ever going to know the truth.
Real Roulette with Zach and Biggs.
She covers her body with chicken fat, completely
strips
naked.
Down. Yep.
Goes running through the camp, and every girl tries to stop her.
But they can't.
But they can't because it's chicken fat.
She slips through them. No, it has been established she's been trying to get at the other black girl.
It doesn't even look like they're even touching
no,
her. Like, it's the worst acting ever.
No. I just like to imagine that she's the Barry Sanders of this prison camp. Like, when she turns it on, ain't nobody can stop her.
Shooting the shit show.
Who would win between Heisenberg and Godzilla? I came to the conclusion that Heisenberg would poison him with rice, and Joe was saying he'd find a way to chemically alter something in the sea and dissolve him or something.
There are two very unknown chemicals that, when combined, react to dissolve kaiju monsters.
Box office battle.
Would you say that the Necronomicon is a MacGuffin of sorts?
No, this is a single book, bound in few and flesh, inked in blood.
Brandon, are you familiar with what a MacGuffin is? Is.
I have no idea. It's essentially an object, a person, or a place that doesn't really matter, but it's a put in place to drive the plot forward. Because see, I appreciate a film that knows how to use its literary device as well.
It is a literal literary device.
Montucky Sky.
What if we get Fassbender as like the sadistic ruler of this dystopian future?
Yes.
So we have the already sick and twisted Fassbender as the king, and he's getting whispers from someone even more sadistic and Willem Dafoe.
Jesus is RoboCop. This is no longer the driving force of this movie.
Uh-huh.
Not safe for Netflix.